back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Lanzamiento, abanicando y con eso cae el tercer out, se poncha Abreu y así termina el partido 3-1 Seattle con la victoria 45-44 para los marineros y Houston cae 50-41 en esta primera mitad de la temporada. Dani, comentarios finales.
I'll be honest, I didn't even know until this morning that the Astros had a en español television broadcast. I had no idea. And then I went to my DVR to go pull some highlights from it. And all of a sudden, I saw that I had been watching a game. I was like, wait, did my game just decide to record on the DVR in Spanish for this one? Yes, I guess they did.
Did you hit the SAP button at some point?
No, because it recorded the English version of it as well.
Just recorded both.
Yeah, wow. That's never happened before. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that there was a Spanish broadcast. So shout out to them. For speaking it in a language that a lot of people in our fair city speak. And I got to say, it makes me excited because now potentially when the Astros hit home runs, we could have super excited en Español calls, which are the best.
Yeah. Either we get, Blummer going like, Ma, the meatloaf.
Yeah.
Or we get to hear what the Spanish broadcast says when Chaz McCormick hits a home run.
El Tasmanio Devolo! I don't know if that's
El Diablo de Tasmania.
Yeah, there we go. That works a lot better. Sorry, I didn't take Spanish in high school.
Or de Chasmania. I forgot the whole point of the thing was he's the Chasmania.
Diablo de Tasmania! Wait, de Chasmania. Yes, see. By the way, the Astros lost. In case you couldn't understand that, 3-1 to the Mariners. They lose 3-4 to the Mariners over the weekend. The Mariners did look pretty good in teal, not going to lie. And they are a better baseball team than I think they have shown to this point this year. They're only a game up on a game over 500. But now the Mariners are 4 games back of the Astros after surpassing the Angels for 3rd place in the AL West. Luckily, the Rangers lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals over the weekend. So Texas did not gain any ground. They've lost a couple of series in a row now. So you're still within striking distance. It's just frustrating when you had an opportunity this weekend because the Nationals actually beat the Rangers, and here you are playing a good Mariners team that has very good pitching and struggling against that. We did get some promising developments when it comes to injured Houston Astros. This is the report from the Houston Chronicle. 3 injured Astro players took steps in their recovery Sunday, as Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez participated in right-hander Jose Urquidy's live batting practice session. I think it's very funny the way that they describe taking a live batting practice session but not actually swinging. Altuve and Alvarez tracked pitches against Jose Urquidy. It's a term I have never seen before. Again, I'm not the most baseball savant person at this station in this city. I just think it's a funny term. Yeah, I stood in the batter's box and I tracked the ball. What does that do?
It's so, you're used to, seeing major league pitching. Because, if you don't swing a bat and you don't stand in there, the first time you step in there, you're seeing 95 again. You're like, oh, my God. And so you just...
That makes sense.
It's just to, literally
to get used to it.
See the pitches.
That makes sense.
So even if you can't swing it, you're still looking at... You're still working out your eyes.
Maybe it's a timing thing with your feet or something
too. That too.
So they did that. I think the really good news hearing there, though, is that Alvarez did take batting practice off of a pitching machine. I don't know how that relates or compares to Lance McCullers throwing off a mound versus throwing off of a flat ground versus not throwing at all. But it seems good that Yordan Alvarez is swinging a baseball bat at an object that is throwing baseballs at him.
Yes, I think it goes.
But we never know.
From tracking a pitch, not swinging, to actually swinging the ball at a machine, like with a pitching machine, and then once you get more healthy than that, then it's actually hitting the ball off of real human beings. I think that's the
okay. That makes sense.
That would make more sense. And yeah. Then you go to Double A. Corpus Christi.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. We could run a baseball team.
Yeah.
We could run a training staff. It's not a very high bar to clear with the Astros. No offense to those guys this year. It might not be all your fault, but I mean, God, someone hire somebody to take care of everybody's obliques. Everyone's obliques need to stop getting bleeped up. Alvarez, Altuve. Who was the latest guy? Somebody else had their obliques.
Oh, Corey Lee.
Corey Lee. Yes. What the hell?
Someone. It's an organizational issue.
My God. Guys, there are thousands of attractive Pilates instructors in the city of Houston. I know like six of them. Do they know me? No. Are they sexually interested in me? No. Does that matter? No. But I'm just saying there are lots of options. And maybe, I don't know, maybe if I could set you guys up with them, maybe I'd have a chance to take one out on a date. What, Sean? We're looking for all of the perks here.
Yeah, no, I think
the finder's fee.
I think
the
Astros have a lot of options.
They have a lot of options.
A lot of options are open to them. They should do like Pilates night at the ballpark or something.
And
they
just
treat it like a job fair.
Better than Disney Princess night, where I got to tell everybody about Elsa being just an absolute ginormous. Yes, that word. She should have been burned alive as a witch. She killed her sister. Whoops. Up. Whoops. It's fine. You are a menace to society. You sang a song for all these children out there that's literally bleep it all, like let it go. No, you're saying like F everything. I'm just not going to do anything. I don't care anymore.
Wait, so she's not a official Disney princess. She's an honorary Disney princess.
She's a witch.
I think that's why.
She is any parent that's listening to me right now that's had to watch that awful movie thousands of times because they have a child that's obsessed with that little bee. Like, I relate, and she should have been burned alive. She should have been just put at a stake. Just the fire underneath there. Ah! I'm Elsa! I'm burning! I killed my sister! It's not a big deal! Let it go! Ah! And just burn her to death.
That's not why it's a good movie.
It's a bad movie. She gets away with it.
No, because it shows how thin the line of like being the villain in a different story. Like, do you think that the... I don't know. What's one of the ones with an evil witch?
All of them.
The
Which one doesn't have
Sleeping
an evil
Beauty?
Witch?
Is that the one with the...
Nope, Sleeping Beauty. There's
Snow White. That's the one I'm thinking
Snow
of.
Snow White, there's an evil witch
same
in that
thing.
One, too.
Same.
Well, the evil witch in Snow White is like this ugly hag, where the evil witch in Sleeping Beauty's hot. She's the fairest one of all. I can say that because she's not a teen.
Either one of them, do you think they saw Frozen and they're like, what the...
Yes.
She did the same thing
I'm
doing.
They
I get
definitely
vilified because I'm ugly?
They definitely did. They were a victim of their time. And yeah, it's ridiculous.
Elsa also, 21 on the age check.
No comment. Hey, the
she's
Astros.
6 years older than
the Houston
Jasmine.
Astros had Disney Princess night last night. They also had the first and second rounds of the baseball draft yesterday. Don't you wish you could have baseball draft takes? The baseball draft is just not the NFL draft, and it's not the NBA draft, because you know you're not going to see a lot of these guys for like 3 to 4 years. Maybe some of them you'll see pretty soon. But I think this is actually pretty cool. They drafted Bryce Matthews with the 28th pick. He played quarterback at Atascocita. How about that? That's pretty cool. First round pick is a guy who played quarterback at Atascocita. He was at Nebraska playing shortstop. That's really all I got.
Did he also play baseball at Atascocita?
He did play baseball. No, that would be pretty funny if they just drafted a Texas quarterback. Hey, listen, regular listener of the show, Ocho Texto, he would have said, like, yeah, you just draft Texas quarterbacks to play baseball. It'll be fine. It'll all work out.
I mean, honestly, like, he probably has played baseball before. Like, obviously, Bryce Matthews has actually played baseball. But if you are just, like, random, like, hey, this guy's from Texas, he's a high school quarterback, draft him. Chances are he played baseball somewhere along the line.
He is the first Astros first-round pick to attend a Houston-area high school since 1972, when they drafted Steve Englishby from South Houston. Matthews was also in the Astros Youth Academy. Again, who knows what's going to lead to. It would be fun to be able to have the take of, like, is Jeremy Pena now on the hot seat? Did they do this to get Jeremy Pena to focus at the plate? Jeremy Pena, great playoffs, great World Series, probably having the greatest nights of his life, seeing as the entire city of Houston wants to marry him and or kidnap him and put him in a van. Is Jeremy Pena not focusing on baseball enough? Does Bryce Matthews provide the spark for Jeremy Pena to figure it out. Because this could be his replacement.
Did Jeremy Pena just get Josh Rosen? That's next on the Paul Gallant show. It'd be a nice if
I know, man. First round pick. But yeah, who knows? And the other guy that they got with the 61st pick, and this is as much baseball draft talk as we will ever give you. Alonzo Treadwell from UCLA. Here's all that's cool about him.
Great name.
That's right, Sean. He's 6'8". Oof. That is huge.
I like him.
That's actually very cool to see in a pitcher. How tall was Randy Johnson? Was Randy Johnson 6'10"?
Yeah, 6'10", 6'11".
Randy Johnson height, 6'10". He was 6'10". Yeah. Okay, so this tall, but still, geez, that's like David Price size. That's pretty cool. So again, I don't know. That's all I got. He's tall. Wow.
So your grade, A-.
A+.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give an A+ for Pope. You know?
Oh, yeah. Local guy, pander pick.
Oh, yeah.
And then giant dude named Alonzo. Treadwell.
Mm-hmm.
Great name.
I like it.
Yeah.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text. And you can also join us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. Sean in Pearland says Elsa didn't kill her sister. She just injured her. No, she was dead. And they had to do some voodoo magic to bring her back from the grave. Unnatural magic. She's a witch. She should be killed. If there's any children listening in the car, listen. Elsa's a terrible person, and sometimes terrible people need to be killed. Larry Nassar's in prison. Guess what? He's gotten stabbed a couple of times in prison.
Go to break.
Sean's telling me to go to break.
No, I said that over the air.
Fine. I'll go to break. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Elsa was asking for it!
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. For those who didn't hear in the first hour of the show, on Saturday, after Donnell Rawlings essentially dared me on the air from Chappelle's show, from The Wire, to open for him on Saturday night, do stand-up comedy for the first time ever in front of a very crowded Houston improv, I did. I did not stumble, so I'm proud of myself for that, but the jokes did not land. Does that mean I'm not funny at all? Was it the wrong audience? These are all things I'm wondering about. But I had a great time, and I'm really thankful that Donnell Rawlings gave me the opportunity to do it, because I never would have done it without a kick in the ass to do it. I'm a master procrastinator. Sean and I were talking about procrastinating on Friday. This is one of those things where until someone's telling me that I need to have it done by X date, like I just have a hard time kicking my ass into doing it. So Friday and Saturday, it's been a really long time, like writing up the script and then trying to be able to say it without having to go look at my notes and read it verbatim from a piece of paper.
Yeah, and Donnell, like having it all like ready, like not only daring you on the air, but then like basically by the time he left, like having it all like sorted out about like when
yes.
you should show up, giving you no like opportunity to be like, he was like, no, here it is. Here's everything. I have it all set up for you. Here you go.
He could not have been cooler.
Yeah.
And by the way, holy crap. He was so funny. I was dying. He was so funny. It was like watching Chappelle's show 20 years ago. It was just from start to finish. Incredible. If you were able to see him over the weekend, shout out to you. It was packed. And shout out to the people at the Houston Improv, too. They treated me very well. I was scared bleepless. But I did it, and I'm pumped I did it. And now I got to figure out, all right, what's the next thing I do? Because I will do this again. I don't know if it's going to be in front of a crowd like that. That might be my one time that I ever get to do it. But I definitely want to do some open mics and try to figure out, well, what can I actually be funny with, as opposed to just making fun of myself because a lot of people think I'm gay. Like, that was essentially the premise of my 5 minutes up there. So I got to figure some other things out. But what else? What else do I have to kick off the bucket list? I do want to do cage diving with sharks. Is that crazy?
That is crazy.
Because you're in a cage. Like, you should be fine. You should.
Yeah.
But I've seen a couple of videos where I get terrified.
Yeah.
And if you step in the ocean, I will admit, I am I'm scared of the unknown in the water, specifically sharks, more than anything. And I grew up being obsessed with sharks. I thought sharks were the coolest. Like, I used to watch these documentaries. Like, before Shark Week jumped the shark.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was unintentional. But before it jumped the shark, I liked it. I was just always wondering, like, when are they going to show somebody getting eaten by a shark or something cool like that? And then I realized, like, oh, that's probably bad. They probably can't show that on TV.
Yeah,
it's probably insensitive.
And then the internet was invented, and you're like, oh, here's where I can find all my gruesome shark attack.
Yeah, the internet helped us out. E315 says he wants to cage dive with me. I would not want to be with anybody else in that cage. I would feel claustrophobic.
Hmm.
But I do want to do it. Skydiving says HRW_S1W.
That's something I want to do too.
Would you? I see, that is something I would not do.
Really?
I'm terrified of heights. I'm pretty sure I'd pass out.
Oh, yeah.
I would pass out.
You kind of have to be okay with heights.
Yeah,
to,
I'm not.
To do it.
Like, and it's fine on a plane. I never even think about the fact that I am in a small metal object thousands of feet in the air, you know? Like, I never think twice.
Yeah, but once they open the door, you're like, well, there's the ground thousands of feet under me.
That's it. It's more like looking over the edge and seeing how far it goes down.
Yeah.
And then being like, what if I accidentally jumped? Like random thoughts. Like, what if somebody pushes me? Like, that's my thought when I'm like by a ledge and like a tall building.
Yeah.
It's like someone's going to come up behind me and like knock me over. I'm going to be like, ah, and then splat. You know, should I do this? This is a bucket list opportunity from HRW. Go see the Titanic in a submersible. Well, look,
sounds like a good idea.
Sean, I think they'll figure out the issues the next time. I think that the second time they'll be a little bit better. Like, maybe you don't use a GameCube controller.
But nah, I won't say
it. Say it.
Imagine if it happens the same exact way the next time.
Well, we're not going to use that company. That's the other thing we learned. Everything that happens in the world is a learning experience. Like that.
Shouldn't have the Titanic actually sinking been the learning experience of like, hey,
call it the Titanic.
Yeah, maybe go visiting the Titanic. Maybe some issues might arise.
What if we visit another sunken ship?
How
about the Arizona in Pearl Harbor? Or something like that. Although that's probably like pretty close to the surface, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine they clean that up, right?
I think so. I think it actually is.
The Titanic's down there because it's so hard to get to, as evidenced by the people
everyone
that just died trying to get there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Other bucket list things that we want to kick. I've done stand-up comedy. You can contribute those to the show. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, one text. You might like Scott... skydiving, they'll strap you on another dude. Hi-yo. Nice text. That actually was funny. Up next, CJ Stroud is drawing rave reviews from important Houston Texans. The problem is we're hearing the same kind of reviews that were given to somebody that we're less fans of. Find out what I'm talking about next. Paul Gallant Show.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We might have just gotten a movie idea during the break. I think we'll flesh that out before garbage time. Thank you, Texter. You just made Sean Mapes and I millions of dollars. CJ Stroud is the new... we assume is going to be the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans at the beginning of the season. I think it's a safe assumption to make. I think right now you're just going through the motions with Stroud competing against Davis Mills. We'll see in training camp. I would imagine a very clear pecking order. And by the end of it, expect Stroud to be the guy that's taking all of the first team snaps. He's already taking a good deal of them right now. He was speaking with Aaron Wilson of KPRC. And said that the off-season workouts that he has been doing outside the facility have been really helping him and his new receivers out.
It was good, yeah. It was definitely just building chemistry, trying to get timing down, trying to be as best as we can so we can try to cap and dominate. So that was the goal for that. We just keep building and have a good off-season.
So we've brought this up before. Stroud isn't exactly the most entertaining person to listen to. It's a lot of cliches. That's not an indictment on whether or not he's going to be a good football player. So how do we riz up C.J. Stroud? What is it that we can do to make him seem more exciting? Because clearly anything he says into a microphone isn't going to get it done. So improv exercise here. How do we make it seem like C.J. Stroud is a headline stealer? And I got it. Did you hear him say the word dominate? C.J. Stroud plans to dominate thanks to off-season workouts with his receivers. Headline, this is how we start the Houston Texans bandwagon, baby, with misleading, panderous headlines.
Yeah, yeah. C.J. Stroud already working on dominate. C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell are going to dominate the NFL. Here's why.
Right, and because C.J. Stroud said dominate one word in that quote, and we're just going to use that one because that's the fun one, and make it seem like, yeah, C.J. Stroud and the Texans are going to really be good this season.
Is C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell, with the chemistry that they're already building in July, are they already a top 10 quarterback wide receiver combo in the NFL?
You know what, Sean? I'll take it
one further. We discuss next.
This might be the top rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver combination in the NFL already. Already. Because I don't know if the Colts have one, and I don't know if the Panthers have one. Boom!
The last 5 years is the best rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver tandem.
I love it.
In the last 5 years.
Take it further. Listen,
prove me wrong.
We are building the Houston hype machine here. Here is more C.J. Stroud with Aaron Wilson. He's talking about OTAs, and he thinks he's done pretty well.
I feel like I've done well. OTAs was something that I want to just put my best in and just be a great leader as well as a great player. Soak in the playbook, soak in coaching, and just be as best as I can. And I think that was a good start, a good routine to get to training camp and to do better there.
Okay, so a lot of cliches. And again, we're not trying to get Stroud in trouble here. We're just trying to riz him up. We are trying to get more hype with C.J. Stroud. So I'm focusing on the one part here. C.J. Stroud, already great leader, thanks to OTAs. Boom. Because he wants to be a great leader. No, C.J., you already are.
Great leader, great player, and is only going to get better by the time training camp starts.
Love it. Guys, the machine is building. Whoop, whoop! It's the Houston hype train! Whoop, whoop! We have more from C.J. Stroud. Here he is talking about working with all-pro left tackle. Check that. All-pro in our mind, left tackle, Laremy Tunsil.
Laremy Tunsil gave you a nice little shout-out the other day. What's been your relationship bonding with him as he's going to be your blindside protector throughout this year?
Yeah, Laremy was the first person to hit me up once I got drafted, man. And for him to do that, just being such a great player he is, such a special person, and I was really appreciative of everything that he said to me. And I know that he's the type of person, he doesn't just say stuff just to say it. He really means it. And I really appreciate him for everything. And I know that we're going to be great teammates together. We already have a really good connection and hung out multiple times. And really excited to get to work with him. Because, I mean, and then on top of that, just be friends, man, just be brothers. I think that's better than being teammates. So, man, I'm really excited to work with Laremy.
A lot of things to dissect here. By the way, that interview was done with Chancellor Johnson of KPRC. It's about friendship. Football is family.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud, Laremy Tunsil, brothers already. And there's a post that Chancellor was asking about where Laremy Tunsil on his Instagram story posted a picture of him giving a loving like headbutt to C.J. Stroud. And it was a really cute moment.
And the caption, QB1.
Are
even settled, really.
Damn. Well, oh, damn. Davis Mills, what do you do if you see that? What's the point of even showing up the rest of this offseason? You've been supplanted by the left tackle.
The people's all-pro left tackle has already coronated C.J. Stroud.
I liked hearing him talking about, it's just cool to be friends.
I do like that. Although, it is funny to hear But I like can 100% believe that when you're a rookie quarterback and you're like, all of a sudden I'm friends with Laremy Tunsil, or, you know, if you're joining a team that's not the Texans, it's probably like way cooler. If you, you know, are Sky Moore and you get drafted to be a wide receiver with the Chiefs and you're like, I get to be friends with and hang out with Pat Mahomes. That's awesome. Or like the ultimate example is all the guys that get drafted from New England when Brady was there. And
That's true too.
You're like, oh yeah, Brady is just hitting me up on a weekend.
Everyone loved Brady because he was fun to hang out with. Here's a question. It might sound a little bit racist. It's not. Sean's like, damn it, Paul. Where are you going here?
I don't know.
I think Davis Mills would have a very hard time making friends with any specific great player in an NFL locker room. Am I wrong?
No, he could be friends with Adam Thielen.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not even going at it from that angle.
Okay.
He is a guy who went to Stanford. He doesn't have, to us at the very least, a lot of personality. And all of a sudden, you're on this team with this guy in Laremy Tunsil, who's like showing up wearing these like $1,000 Hawaiian shirts, yeah, which are badass, by the way, Laremy. I want one.
You're just asking like, what do Davis Mills and Laremy Tunsil like sit in the locker room and like connect about? Like, what do they talk about outside of football that they both are like, you know, you're a cool dude, Davis. You're a cool dude, Laremy.
It's a great question because I'm sure that they have at times talked. Like they have to. I don't think.
Hey, Laremy, you seen the new House of the Dragon?
Is that how they bought? Like, I do wonder if they have any shared interests. Look, it's going to be tough for Davis Mills at this point. For any Mills Mafia holdouts, you're like the, you know, Japanese soldiers from World War II in 1962 at some random island, being like, "Oh, we'll get those Americans if they ever come here." That was actually a thing, by the way. But. Look, Laremy Tunsil really likes C.J. Stroud. Here is what Tunsil had to say about Stroud on the Pat McAfee show.
He handled himself well. He came in the building with these unbelievable leadership skills, and he's killing it, man. Like, how I describe C.J., dog. He's a straight dog. He comes in there ready to work. He handles the huddle perfectly, and he go out there and ball, man. You know, you got to appreciate that, especially in a young quarterback like C.J.
Tunsil does sound actually impressed by Stroud, the player there. And clearly there is a relationship of sorts developing between the two. In fact, C.J. Stroud's talking about how he wants to be friends, brothers, with Laremy Tunsil. But here's the thing. I think there's still a chance for Davis Mills here. Not to supplant C.J. Stroud as the starter, to supplant C.J. Stroud as a friend, because Laremy Tunsil, you heard him call C.J. Stroud dog in that answer. Laremy Tunsil had this to say about Davis Mills not too long ago.
Talks about Davis Mills, his growth from last year to this year, and what he's bringing to you guys.
Dog.
Laremy Tunsil still might think deep down that Davis Mills is a dog.
That was less than a year ago.
It was. RIP, Mark Berman. We're going to miss you out on the beat asking those questions.
Still with us.
RIP, like retire in peace.
Okay.
Come on.
I didn't know you reclaimed RIP.
Everyone says RIP, retire in peace.
Yeah, retire in peace.
You've never said that to anybody before?
I can't say that I have.
Okay, fair enough.
But I also haven't been in the workforce very long, so.
Okay. Yeah, because it's RIP in peace. That's how you say, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's how you say thoughts and prayers to somebody who's died online that you don't actually know, but you feel the need to talk about them because you want to make it about yourself. Right. Like that's how, well, look, it's 2023.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to, celebrity, 90-year-old celebrity X. I really loved you on MASH.
When's the last time that you made somebody else's death about yourself?
Oh, when's the last death that happened?
I don't think I want to go back and see, like, have I ever done that? Like, do I have a social media post of, like, someone I barely knew and I was like, yeah, man, RIP.
Yeah,
bad for me.
Search your name on Twitter with condolences, with RIP, rest in peace, thoughts and prayers. Like, just see if you've ever done, like, man, I can't even think of a celebrity who's died. Like, man, George Michael, RIP. I used to love Wham growing up.
I'm going to circle back to Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, away from Wham? Okay.
Away from Wham, yes. I'm going to circle back here. What is a dog to Laremy Tunsil? Because he was calling Davis Mills dog. Okay, there were some moments in 2021 where I suppose you could have that conclusion with Davis Mills. I know I've never had it. It's also his teammate. And you hear Tunsil talking about C.J. Stroud and the long answer that he gave there. Stroud is clearly more exciting than Mills. Of course he would be. He's the second overall pick. And on top of that, Tunsil's kind of depressed because he's been playing for a bad team the last couple of years. Play some more of those comments tomorrow. Does Laremy Tunsil have a dog scale? What kind of dog is Davis Mills? Right now, I would imagine Davis Mills is probably a Chihuahua, which is the worst of all the dogs.
Oh, whoa.
He is.
Oh, that's ugly.
Why is it ugly? Watching him play football was ugly.
You just called him the worst of all the dogs.
He is the worst of all the dogs. Well, you don't want him to be your starting quarterback next year.
I was trying to think of, like, smart dogs that aren't quite,
no, like... No, Chihuahuas are the worst, like, because they're either scared,
but
they're ugly, they're either scared or angry. There's no in-between.
Can it be a Dachshund, at least, with the neck?
Dachshunds are cute.
I was just thinking that their bodies are shaped like his neck. That's all I was doing. That's all I was doing. There wasn't much going on there.
No, but like there is an appealing quality to them. With Davis Mills, there's no appeal. What? I know that sounds mean.
He's from Stanford.
Okay, so
he's a
like
smarty pants.
He is a. That means he is like a fancy Chihuahua. So like a Chihuahua that was like bred at like a fancy like dog seller's house. And they've, like, tried to go out of their ways to breed with Chihuahuas so that they're not, you know, nipping at everybody, biting at everybody, or just freaked out by everything. They're legitimately the worst dogs, Chihuahuas. If you have a Chihuahua, I'm sorry for you. Like, that's just gotta suck.
I looked up smart dog breeds, and it feels like they're just the most popular dogs. But how about English Springer Spaniel?
I don't know what the hell that is.
They're, you know, little... Spaniel terrier dogs.
You know what?
It's not quite as insulting, and it's paying homage to his noodle up there.
I think right now, C.J. Stroud is a German Shepherd puppy. German Shepherd puppies, objectively, cute dogs. You do not know what that thing is going to grow into, right? Like, they can't be dangerous dogs if they're not trained correctly. But this is not like a pit bull where, like, you know, you're just asking for your toddler to get mauled to death. Why are you laughing?
A lot of people are going to get mad at what you just
said.
I don't care.
Okay. Like, stop.
Okay,
like, just, yeah.
I'm sure
your pit bull is well trained. I'm sure.
Pit bulls are a very contentious issue.
They shouldn't be. Like, they're a dangerous dog, and you better have the balls to own it. Like, seriously. My take on it is, if you're getting one, they can be very cute. They can be very loving. I have a couple of friends who have pit bulls. They are nice to me. But to me, I'm good with dogs. These things, though... The wrong owners, and there's so many bad dog owners out there, man.
That's the real problem.
There are so many bad dog owners, and they're like, oh, he never does this. Does he? He never does this? Are you sure? Sure. It's just one time. Like, listen, the pound's not right here. They're not about to take your dog away. But my God, like, try a little bit harder. You should actually have to be a responsible person to have a dog, to have a kid maybe even too. Who would have thought? Wow, we're just really, like, slamming everybody in the middle of the segment.
C.J. Stroud, German Shepherd puffy.
Bog and Lunch Show, stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. All-star break upon us. Astros 2 games back of the Texas Rangers. They lost 3-4 to the Mariners over the weekend. But the Rangers lost 2-3 to the Nationals. So, at the very least, the AL West remains largely the same, with the difference being that the Mariners, who have won their last 3 series, have just overtaken the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I think this was proposed this morning on the bench. We have a post about it up on our sports map page, Houston Sports Map. Since Mike Trout's out and the Angels are losing, should the Astros consider trading Hunter Brown, Yiner Diaz, and possibly Chaz McCormick to bring Shohei Ohtani to Houston for a World Series run. Would LA accept that? I say no chance.
I feel like that's like the MLB guys that they'll take, and then they'll also want
Drew Gilbert.
Yeah, Drew Gilbert.
Even if it's just for a rental. This is like the greatest in terms of overall excitement baseball player in 100 years.
Because he's better, he's a better pitcher than Hunter Brown by quite a bit. And he's a way better hitter than both McCormick and Diaz. Like, we love those guys. Those guys have been kind of underrated, like one of the like top, I don't know, they're probably both in the top five of like Houston hitters production this year. But it's Shohei Ohtani. Like, Shohei Ohtani hit 15 home runs in the month of June. Like, yes. Like, what are we talking about?
If you do this specifically with Brown and Diaz, you are really perhaps
you're laying them on the table.
You're risking a lot of future wins.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what Hunter Brown's ever going to be. I like what we've seen from Hunter Brown thus far. Same thing with Yiner Diaz, like what I've seen thus far. But with Ohtani, if you're doing this, you're going all in for this year, and there's no way.
Yeah.
Based off of what we heard from Dana Brown, he's not going to do it. I got to say, though, like, me being an idiot, I would do this in a heartbeat. I just want Shohei Ohtani.
That's me with all the Ohtani, like, hypothetical trades of, like, should the Astros do it? I'm like, I would, but I also, like, I get distracted by the shiny thing, so to speak, when it comes to, like, free agent and the trade deadline. I'm always like, yeah, just try to get the best guy. Like, I don't know, but I would end up running the Angels is, like, what would happen. My team would just turn into the Angels where I'm paying Albert Pujols and Anthony Rendon to not play for me. Like,
it's kind of fun.
Hey, it's fun for a little bit. It's a great press conference.
Yeah.
It's a great press conference to be like, look at this. The guy's holding up the jersey. Boom. But then, like, you know, in 5 years when the Astros, all the guys are too old from this current run on the Astros are going to Anaheim and playing Hunter Brown, who's just, like, throwing a shutout against you, that part would suck.
That's not good. No.
Yeah, you can't trade him in the division.
That's
always my
the rule.
Stupid favorite thing.
That one makes sense, though, for baseball, because you are playing these guys, like, 13 times a year. And it's not about whether or not It's all about looking bad. Like, there's the potential for you looking bad. It's not like, oh, we're going to give them a competitive advantage. I could look like a real moron if I do this trade.
You know, the
and my boss will be reminded of it like 13 times a year.
If the Celtics trade Jaylen Brown to the East, it's like, well, what if Jaylen Brown eliminates us from the playoff next year? Like, that we would look real stupid if that happened. So let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Time for a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Oppenheimer, the Christopher Nolan movie starring Cillian Murphy as the man himself, Oppenheimer. His first name, Robert?
J. Robert Oppenheimer.
J. Robert Oppenheimer.
Or Robert J.
I don't
pretentious
know
middle initials somewhere in
Look,
there.
He's an ex-Nazi, so, like, really making a movie glorifying a Nazi. Whatever. But Christopher Nolan has said of his movie, he's not interested in using CGI. And with Oppenheimer, he said there are zero CGI shots. Keep in mind, this is a movie about the making of a nuclear bomb. That is the most hard-o thing I think I've seen Christopher Nolan say, and that guy is quite a hardo when it comes to making movies. And, I mean, some of the iconic scenes that he's made take in The Dark Knight, the truck.
Flipping the truck, yeah.
Flipping the truck is one of the coolest things that I think I've ever seen in a movie. And I'm glad that there's at least somebody out there that's still trying to do things without CGI, because they really do, I think, cheapen the movie, because it's not as good as it needs to be still. I think, like, you just saw that. I didn't watch the Flash. I'm not going to. But I heard a lot of people criticize the CGI of that movie after the fact.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, when you say zero CGI shots, like, they're still using CGI to, like, touch things up. And, like, in post-production. Like,
right.
They're not, like, there still are, like, they're probably going to make the bomb look a little bit cooler or something. But they're not, like, it's not completely like a soundstage or like a green screen or just completely computer generated like 100. Like, he's saying that they actually shot off a bomb is basically what he said.
That's what I want to know. And imagine being the guy that's sort of like Danny McBride in Tropic Thunder who gets to blow that up. What a wet dream
would
be.
How do you, like, sleep the night before?
You don't.
You're just like, man, I'm going to get to set off an actual bomb.
Man, that would be so cool. I am curious. I hope that they have a making of to show how, whenever the bomb blows up the first time, how they do it.
DVD special features.
Oh, yeah. Bring them back, baby. Something that's been happening at concerts. People are throwing things at musicians. They're just throwing things at them. Harry Styles got hit by something in Vienna. Morgan Wallen got hit by a cowboy boot when he was in St. Louis.
I saw Drake got hit with a phone.
Yeah.
Like, people are just throwing all sorts of things.
Is this a TikTok trend? It must be.
How would it be? You're throwing your phone away, unless your friend is recording it.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying to be up on stage and to have something thrown at you. Possibly good news. Larry Nassar, guy accused of sexually abusing female gymnasts, convicted of abusing female gymnasts, stabbed in prison. So, nice positive way to tie up the show. Huh? That's going to wrap it up. Big thanks to Sean Mace, our Twitchers, our Texters, and our Tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!